Hello, my beautiful friend.
Hello.
Hi. I hope the fan isn't too loud in the background. It's very hot in my studio, and I decided to keep the fan on and hope that it's okay with you. Our internet is out. Normally, I might go to the computer and play you some sort of music from Spotify or YouTube that pertains to whatever's dropping in at the moment. And so I'm having to pivot a little. Are you ready? It was actually kind of fun. Okay, here you go. This is a music box. I hope you can hear it. I got this in Portugal when I visited my friend Tamara. I love music boxes. I could just sit and play this our whole love gram, but you might get a little bit tired of it, or maybe not. Maybe that's exactly what we all need, is to just sit quietly and listen to a music box for 15 minutes. It is interesting. I don't know. I didn't want to just have a love gram without music, and that was kind of fun. I love music boxes. I think I just said that to you. I think there's something, you know, they harken back. I'm kind of glad in a way that the internet is out and that I couldn't play you music from Spotify or something, because what is bringing up for me is this beautiful simplicity, right? Like, so what I started to say is the music boxes kind of harken back to the days of old when, you know, things, I think we could all admit, things were simpler. And I don't know if there were better. I wouldn't go that far because I don't know, but certainly simpler. And there's something sweet. Let's just listen a little bit more, and then I did have a word drop in that I want to talk to you about. It's so beautiful. So I was about to turn on the recorder, not quite sure. Sometimes I get a little panicky, like, am I going to turn on the recorder and there's going to be nothing to say? However, in this case, the word multitudes dropped in, and the reason is, and I'm glad it dropped in, earlier this week, I guess it was on Monday, my friend Sean, who is also a coach, we've both been trained by Brendan Burchard, and we do something called The Hard Stuff is Okay. It's a meetup within Brendan's world called Growth Day. And Sean and I will do a meetup, and then afterwards we go live on Facebook. And I guess we do Facebook and LinkedIn. And it's been such a beautiful practice. Sean and I always say this, like, it's something that we wanted to offer to people because we felt like, particularly in the world, I don't know how many of you kind of run or touch up against the world of personal development or personal growth. But in that world, sometimes people can be hard on themselves when there are hard things going on. It can be difficult for people to offer themselves grace. And I may have told you this before, I don't know, but I'm going to tell it again. Sean and I once got together for a cup of coffee in Rockridge, which is a little part of Oakland, and we happened to discover that we were both reading the same book. And it's a book called Bittersweet by Susan Cain. And we were both extraordinarily excited about this book because in this book, Susan talks about, what I remember the most, there's a lot of things she talks about, but she talks about how our culture has become less tolerant of, I guess is the word, she may not use that word, but of melancholia, or the name of the book is Bittersweet. So it's like the kind of this and that-ness of life. I think especially, I live in America, the United States, I should say. I live in the United States. And there can be a culture of, you know, chin up, turn that smile, or turn that smile upside down, turn that frown upside down. Hey, smile. There can be, the American culture can be a little bit aggressive when it comes to, you know, be happy. And of course, in some ways, that's lovely, right? There's a lovely loveliness to optimism, and certainly there's a lot of great things to be said for all of that. And the reason that Sean and I loved Bittersweet so much is that it kind of allows for everything, and it speaks to, I think, a very authentic human place, which is that a lot of times we may be feeling a lot of things. It's not black and white, usually. Sometimes it is. Those are beautiful. Like when it's like, you know, simple and, you know, everything is going our way. Everything's coming up. Everything's going my way. I can't remember that. Oh, but I think that's from Oklahoma. I'm distracting myself. It's not always that simple, right? And even when things are very, very hard, it's also not always that black or white. So, for instance, the reason that the word multitudes came into my mind when we first started talking. Hi, did I greet you? I hope I did. I hope I greeted you properly. Hello, beautiful. There's some music. So my friend Sean has something that he will often say, which I love, and it is this. He'll say, we contain multitudes. And what he means by this, and I'm so grateful, is that within each of us, there's spaciousness for a lot to be going on at once. And we always, always, without a doubt, when we meet for the Hard Stuff is Okay group, we always discover that there's hard stuff, and that there's also joy stuff and good stuff. And sometimes, almost always, truthfully, almost always when we get together and we talk about hard stuff with people, inevitably people end up feeling connected because we're showing up together. We're creating a circle where it's safe to share. People are deeply listening to one another. There's a compassion, there's a spaciousness. And I think it's my experience as a human being that when we're given a little bit of time and compassion and spaciousness for stuff that's hard, it allows us to breathe a little more deeply, and it allows us to connect to ourselves. It allows us to connect to others. If you've ever seen the movie Inside Out by Pixar, that movie is the perfect bittersweet book companion movie, in that we often feel a beautiful joy when we're allowed to be. Oh goodness, my son Dad came in to take a look at the router, trying to fix the Wi-Fi, so I stopped my recording. I don't remember what I was saying, but let's play some music. Maybe that will remind me. Oh yes, joy. It was saying that when we're given a little bit of space to be authentic, to say what's true for ourselves, to even cry a little, or, you know, just to express whatever's going on for us, I feel like it opens up space for a connection, right? So we connect to ourselves, we connect to the other people, and it is a beautiful thing. And so when Sean said the other day again, we contain multitudes, I started thinking a lot about that. And as many of you know, this has been a really grief-filled time for me. And I've spoken about it a lot. And I guess I'm just going to tell you this now too, because I just got some really bad news about my sweet kitty, Pop-Tart. And I'm going to try not to cry when I tell you this, but we... I don't know if I can tell you this right now. It's too soon. Basically, she has cancer in her mouth, and they can't do anything for her. She just had 7 teeth pulled, which we were feeling so excited and happy that we thought that was going to make her feel better. which it did temporarily, but anyway, they don't know. She doesn't have very long before it's going to be too painful. So it's been a grief-filled time. And now I'm just facing yet another. It's just really been kind of a crazy time. And of course, she's still here, and I'm going to love her as much as I can in the next weeks. I'm hoping that we have some weeks. They said maybe a month, maybe longer, depending, but probably it's probably going to get really painful pretty fast. And so, grief. But in the midst of this, so here's what I want to say. So even when I got this news, and then I reached out to some friends, and even in the sadness and the crying and the feeling so bereft at the thought of, it's the thought of losing her. I've had her for 16 years. We got her when she was just teeny. I think she was 6 weeks old at the SPCA. And our other cat, Zoe, that you guys know, passed away about 6 months ago. And those two were buddies their whole lives. And it just sucks. I'm just going to say that. It just really, really, really sucks. And however, back to the multitudes. So it can be, when I was reaching out to friends yesterday and crying to my friends, They were there. And they were, I think this is almost what I was talking about with you last week too, right? I was talking about being with a new friend and all that emotion came up and how beautiful it was that she held it. And I don't want to let any of that pass by, right? I don't want to let any of it pass by that in the midst of some of the deepest, hardest times we go through, there's also the deepest, most beautiful connection. And I've been making recordings all week long about this, even before I found out about my dear little Pop-Tart. And just making recordings about how I might be even on the phone crying to a friend and they'll make me laugh, right? I'm sure that you've all had that experience. Sometimes people are able to do that, and it's such a beautiful gift. My friend Greggy, I don't know if you're listening to this today, but if you are, you're a master at that. Greggy's a master at being able to throw out something funny, and it never comes across as he doesn't care. It's never like, at all, like ignoring what's going on or mean-spirited. It's just kind of a lightening. It's a lightening of the load, like, okay, we're carrying this, but we can also laugh. And so we contain multitudes. I think I want to just keep it really simple, like not having Wi-Fi and playing a music box. In order for all of us to kind of pause and think about, like, what does that mean to me today? As I'm going about my day, and maybe I'm angry, or maybe I'm frustrated, or maybe I didn't get much sleep and I'm exhausted. And then we can ask ourselves, and what else can I feel at the same time? Right? Like, how do we not make whatever one thing the only thing that we feel or that we are? And I've also been practicing, I've talked to you about this too, but I want to say it again because I'm practicing, with language. Right? So sometimes I'm practicing, instead of saying, I'm really grieving this, I'll say, I'm really loving, because often that is actually what's going on. And when I say I'm grieving, especially if it's a person, it connotes a real like loss, like that they're gone. And if I say I'm loving, then it makes it feel as if in that moment I'm connected to them and their spirit is right there with me, alive. And that's just one way of sort of containing multitudes, right? I don't want to ever be too like Pollyanna-ish or too, you know, looking for the silver lining without feeling the feelings. And yet sometimes it can really take care of us to think about we contain multitudes. I can, for instance, really feel sad that my little kitty Pop-Tart is only going to be here a short while with us. And at the same time, I can be so grateful for today, the way that she was playing with her little banana catnip toy that she got for her birthday on the 20th of March. And I felt so glad that she was feeling playful. It can all be there. So I guess my last words are just a repetition. Like, what can you open to today in order to feel capable of holding multitudes for yourself in your life? And maybe there's someone that you know that could also use a little encouragement in that direction. Maybe you can take a page from my friend Greggy's book and, you know, see if you could bring a little tiny, gentle, loving levity to a hard situation, because we really need all of it. And we really need each other. We need all of us and all of it. And I'm so grateful you're here. Thank you so much. I know that this is Easter Sunday for people who celebrate. I mean, I guess it's Easter Sunday even for people who don't celebrate, but it's Easter Sunday. And if that's something that you are commemorating, I send you lots of love in that direction. And no matter what, I send you lots of love. And I really appreciate you being here. Bye-bye.